Today, Shir's Masecht Bava Kama on Daf Chav Gimel. We will begin on Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amid, with the words Amar Rava. We are in the middle of the Shas Sugya that is called Isha Mishum Chitzav or Isha Mishum Memoine. We had a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish, which began on the Amid Aleph, Chav Beis Amid Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan's Shita is that a fire is considered the arrows, the koyach of the person who makes the fire, and koyach is kegufoy. It's as if he himself made the fire. Rish Lakish, on the other hand, is of the opinion that his fire is his mamo, just like a person is responsible to take care of his shore or his boar that are his mamon, and if they cause damage, he has to pay. So too, his fire is considered his mammon. Rabbi Yochanan did not like that because Rabbi Yochanan said mammon has mamoshes, it's tangible, and eish is not tangible. And now Rava is going to bring a proof to the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rava, kro umasnisa, the pasuk and a brisa misayel al Rabbi Yochanan are a raya to Rabbi Yochanan's shita that ishay is mishum chitzav, that it's his koyach, his guf, that is doing the damage. Kra, the proof from the pasuk is, dechsiv, ki seitzei eish, if a fire goes out, the Gemara understands this to mean that teitzei me atzma, that it will go out from its own accord. As Rashi explains, since the pasuk uses the terminology of seitzei that's going to go out, so it, we're not speaking about where the person who set the fire went to his friend's Gaddish and set it ablaze. But rather, he started a fire. He was making, let's say, a barbecue fire in his own Rishus. And he wasn't careful, and he should have figured out that with the wind condition, the fire would spread. And then it spread into his friend's field and caused the damage. So that's what we mean with kiseitzei eish, when the fire goes out on its own accord. The pasuk continues, Yishalem hamavir es habeira, the one who made the fire, he is responsible to pay. So we see that although the fire went out on its own accord, and the person making the fire did not put the fire directly on his friend's field, and yet the Torah considers it as if he made the fire directly on his friend's field, and that's why the Torah calls him Hamaver Asaber Be'era, the one who made the fire. Shema Mina, from here is a proof that Ishai is Mishum Chitzav. This is a proof that his fire is considered his own arrows, his koyach, his own guf that's making Hamaver Asabera. Masnisa, we have a raya as well from a brisa. The same understanding that Rava on his own accord had from the pasuk, we see a beferisha brisa that understood the pasuk in the same way. The sanya we learned in a brisa, pasuk hakosav, the pasuk began as we turn to Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, beniskei memoinai, by the Torah saying kiseitzei eish by itself, so that would indicate that it's not his guf that is directly placing the fire on his friend's field, but rather it is his mammon that is doing the damage on its own accord. V'siyim, the end of the pasuk is beniskei gufoi. It says hamaver es habeira, that he's the maver, he's the one who made the fire, that it's his own koyach that's making the fire. So we see loy melach to teach you that isha mishum chitzav, to teach you that the fire of a person is his arrows, his koyach. It's as if he himself is making the fire. So the Brisa has interpreted the pasuk the exact same way that Rava understood the pasuk. Amar Rava, says Rava, Kashe Leila Abaya. Abaya had a question, Lamandi Amar Isha Mishum Chitzav, on Rabbi Yochanan, who was of the opinion that a fire is because of his arrows, his koyach, that he made the fire, it's not his mammon, but like it's Adam HaMazik, that he himself is making this damage. So tamun be'esh, the pater rachmana heichem ashkachas lo. How do we find the p'tur, the special p'tur that we have by esh, that if something is not revealed, it's covered up, and the fire consumes that, the Torah says that you're pater. We learn it from oy hakoma, and we've learned this before in the Masechta, just like the koma is begolui, just like the standing grain is revealed, you could see it clearly, so too, everything that Eish is chayiv on has to be clearly visible. If it's covered up, it's potter. So Abaye says, I don't understand, according to the Mandi Yomar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Ishim Shem Chitzav, how in fact could the Torah potter a person when his fire damaged and destroyed and burnt up something that was hidden? What is bothering Abaye? So Rashi and Tosfos both understand it the same way. Let us learn the Tosfos together, because Tosfos elaborates a little more than Rashi says. The top Tosfos, Tamen Beish the Pater Rachmana Heichem Ashkachas Lo Pirish. So Tosfos tells us Pashup Shad in the Gemara. Bishlam Lamandi Yomer Isha Mishum Moinai. If I hold like Rish Lakish that Eish is considered like my ox is goring, it's my money, it's something that belongs to me that's doing the damage. It's not me that's doing the damage. Then ain't tame it a potter tamen. Then it's not a question why tamen is potter. Va'af al gav de bechol niske memoinai k'moy karen shen v'regel chayiv tamen. If animal is walking along and breaks something, and in that item that he, in that keli that he broke, there was another keli that was in that keli, and no one could see the keli within the keli, the halacha is that it's chayiv. So Karen Shenver regular chayiv tamen. So then I would not have a problem if I hold Isha Mishim Amoinai, why tamen Beish is potter. Taisa says all the other Nezakim are chayiv by tamen. That's not a problem. Shebimomen Matsinu Chilukim Bekaren Shenver regular Lil Chayseyan. Each one of the Ovis Nezikin, with the exception of Adam, there are differences. Shen regular potter b'shus rabim, Karen is not potter b'shus rabim. So mimela, if isha mishum emayna, the tyrant is exerced a cause of a special halacha that tamen be'esh is potter, even though the other by the other nezakim tamen is not potter. Avol ba'adam hamazik loychilik hakosev. By adam hamazik, the tyrant didn't make any chalukim in any instance. Unless, like we learned, if a person is sleeping and somebody else put kalim there, and in his sleep he destroyed it, so then it's, of course, the fault of the one who put the kalim there. But as a, if a person is awake, there are no chalukim. They say, petz atachas petzim, darshinim, besoif pirkin, l'chayiv ala shoyi kemezid, v'oin is karatzin. That shoyi is chayiv like mein is it, oin is chayiv like rotz, like willingly, lefikich ein svara lidrash isha mishim chitzav. That's how Tosfos understands it. Isha mishim chitzav means it's not my momen. I myself am damaging. If I myself am damaging, it's adam amazik. By adam amazik, we don't find chilukim. You're always chayiv by adam amazik. Oynes, shoygeg, mezid, you're always chayiv. So why should the Torah make a gzeres akasav that tamen be'esh is potter? If it's mamen, mamen has its own unique halachas. Karen has its own unique halachas. Shen v'regel have their own unique halachas. So Eish has its own unique halacha also. But if Eish is in fact Adam Amazik, by Adam Amazik, we don't find chalukim. You're always chayiv. That is a biased question according to the Man Yomar. Yishim Yishim Chitzav, why should Taman be Eish be Potter? As continues Rava in the name of Abaya, v'nichale, as Rashi explains, that umishani lahachin, what did Abaye answer to this question that he posed on the Monday Yomer that Isha Mishim Chitzav? He responded, I'll give you the following answer. Kegoin shenafla deleika loisei chatzer. The Rabbeinu Chananel explains the words nafla means kegoin shehitzes eish bechatzer. It means Reuven made a fire. It doesn't mean it fell down from heaven. Reuven made a fire in his chatzer. And there was a fence, and normally this fence would have protected that the fire would not go to his friend's field and burn it. But what happened was, v'nafla geder shalai machmas deleika, not as a result of the fire, but let's say there was a storm at the same time. The storm knocked down the fence. V'holcha vidlika, V'hizika b'chatzar acheres. And the fire was able to go through the breach in the wall and burn and damage the other person's field. D'hasam kolu lechitzav. What was Abaye's question? That if it's isha mishum chitzav. So then Tamun, why is Tamun Beish Potter? Because Adam is Mud Lailam. The answer is, this is speaking about a case where there is no more Isha Mishum Chitzav. Why? Because that's why Rashi points out it was the Geder fell down because of a storm. The Geder didn't fall down because the fire ate up the Geder. If it was in the power of the fire to consume the Geder, then that destruction of the fence is part of the Isha Mishum Chitzav. It means it's such an uncontrollable fire that the fire is going to damage the fence, and automatically it's going to go into the next field. So that would all be a case of Isha Mishum Chitzav. I'm trying to get a case where Isha is not Mishum Chitzav. What case is that? That the fire normally would have been contained. So the Isha Mishum Chitzav is in my barbecue area that I made my fire. And if it would have spread, it would have been stopped by the Geder. Now the Geder fell down because of a storm. So if it goes and consumes somebody else's field, when it's consuming in the other field, you can't say Ishim Mishum Chitzav. That's not my arrow. That's not my koyach. Based on my koyach, it would have remained in my field. So then it's not my koyach anymore. So you don't have a question. What was Abaye's question? If Isha Mishum Chitzav, it means it's Adam Amazik. Adam Amazik is Adam Mud Loilam. There's no exceptions. How could there be a Ptur in the Torah of Tamun? The answer is I gave you a case where there is no Isha Mishum Chitzav. Ask the Gemara. Very nice answer. I have one problem with it. Ihachi le'inyin gilui nami kol le'chitzav. If so, so then according, we're going right now, the Gemara in a minute is going to change this, but we're going that if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, that Isha is Mishum Chitzav, it's not Mishum Mamon, it's only Mishum Chitzav. The only Chiv that I can have on Eish is your Koyach. So your Koyach ended by your fence. It wasn't going to go further. So Frey the Gemara, what does it mean, Tamun Be'esh Potter? Tamun Be'esh Potter means Golui is Chayiv, and Tamun is Potter. In the same case, where revealed is Chayiv, you're Chayiv for what you damaged with your fire, you're Potter on what was covered up. But you've given me a case where it's not Chitzav. And therefore Tamun should be Potter. But in this case that you gave me, not only would Tamun be Potter, Golui would also be Potter. Because why am I Chayiv for the damage that my fire made in your field, based on, if Eshev is Mishum Chitzav, my Koyach ends by my fence. My fence would normally have protected that the fire would not go further. I had a rock of Gibraltar fence. The fire wasn't going to go penetrate it. A powerful storm came and knocked that fence down. That's not Eishim Mishum Chitzav. So if Tamun is Potter, then Goli should also be Potter. You have to figure out a case where Goli would be Chayiv, and yet Tamun would be Potter. You have failed to give me such a case. So Abaye's Kasha L'Chayr is still difficult. The Gemara comes to the following conclusion, different than what we learned the whole last stuff. The whole last stuff we learned that if you hold Eishim Mishum Chitzav, you don't hold Eishim Mishum Emoinai. Now the Gemara says, and you hold Eishim Mishum Emoinai, you don't hold Eishim Mishum Chitzav. Ela, Laman de Islay Mishum Chitzav, Islay Nami Mishum Emoinai. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say exclusionary, only Chitzav and not Mamon. Rabbi Yochanan says you could be Chayav for both. But I also agree that you could be chayav for a moment. So therefore, if that is so, kegoin shahayu loy legoidra v'loy godra. So now, Einach Hanami, he made a fire in his yard. He had a fence, and normally that fence would have stopped the fire. But a storm came and knocked out the fence, but he still had time that he could have rebuilt the fence to its previous strength, and that would have contained the fire. He didn't do that. So the Gemara continues, the Hasam Shoyrehu V'loitafach Ba'peh. You know what this is a case of? Now the Isha Mishum Chitzav, which would normally have stopped at that fence, now when you didn't rebuild the fence to protect the fire from spreading, now when the fire goes into the next Rishus, now it becomes Isha Mishum Emoinai. It's like having an ox that gores, and you don't put a door in front of it to stop it from goring another ox. So avadah, the owner of the ox, is chayiv. He wasn't shomer his ox probably. So if I could have built up the wall to stop the fire from spreading, and I didn't, so then that esh transforms from isha mishum chitzai, becomes isha mishum amoinai. And I didn't watch it properly. And now when the fire goes into the other person's field, so now for golui I'm chayiv, for mamon, ein chanami, tamun. If it'll be a case of isha mishum chitzav, Abaye's question is correct. Adam would loyalam. So Taman would taka be chayiv in this case. If isha mishum chitzav. But once in the scenario that we just presented, if the fire goes into the other person's rishus, it becomes an isha mishum mamaynai, golu your chayiv, whatever's revealed, and now Taman Be'esh will be potter, and you don't have a kasha anymore, Adam mu loylam. This fire is no more Adam. This fire is Mammon. Mammon, we can make halukim. Golu is chayiv, and Taman is potter. That is what the Gemara is answering. Continues the Gemara. V'chima acher. Deman de islay mishum chitzav. Islay nami mishum amoynoi. If the Rabbi Yochanan who holds of chitzav also holds mishum mamen. So my benayu, what is the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? So there are two ways to learn this Gemara. We're going to learn according to the way we have in our Rashi. If you look at the Rashi, Divrei Amaska, Lechayvoi, Bedalad Dvorim, so Rashi at the end says, it's around 10 lines from the bottom of the Rashi's, 10 or 15 lines, Rashi says, Mipi Amoira, this is what I heard from my Rebbe, Shamati, Avaloshin Risha Nirali. I like better the first pshat, not the second pshat. The only problem is, if you go through the Rashi, you'll see that Rashi only tells us one pshat. Rashi tells us the second pshat, he doesn't give us the first pshat. The Marshal has a different edition of Rashi, and in that Rashi, he found the first pshat of Rashi. But we're going to go through the sugya. Initially, we're going to go the way Rashi learned in the second pshat, even though he says, I like the Risha nearly Iker. So how does Rashi learn the Gemara? He learns as follows. My benai, what's the chilek? Says Rashi. And now I'm doing the Rashi, Divrei Amaska v'chima acher demand the Islam Mishum Chitzav, Islam Nam Mishum Amoin, and my benayu. Says Rashi, what's bothering Rashi is, of course there's still a big difference. The difference will be when it's not my gachelis. It's not my eish. If it's not my eish, so then demand the Yoram Rish Lakish holds Mishum Amoinai, holds I'm potter. I can only be chayv if it's my fire. If it's eish mishum chitzav, my koyach, or the mamazik, it doesn't matter whether it's mine or not. But if it's eish mishum amoinoi, then it has to be mine. So what's the Gemara's kasha? It's a simple teretz. So Rashi answers, and he says this over in this Rashi, and in the next Rashi, he repeats it. Rashi says that, what's the lashon? Ishoi mishum chitzav, or ishoi mishum amoinoi. Ishoi means my fire. It means it belongs to me. You can't make a chilek Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish only when it doesn't belong to me. You have to make a chilek even when the gachelis belongs to me. It's ishoy. It's his. So that's what the Gemara wants to know. Where the fire belongs to me, there my benayu. What is the chilek? So, because since both hold of also of Isha Mishum Amoinai, so where will there be a chilek? So Rashi goes on to explain like this. Till now in the Gemara, there was a big chilek. Where would be the chilek Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish? The chilek, where it's my fire, where would be the chilek? The chilek would be like in the case we just had. I have a fence that normally would stop my fire. The storm came and knocked out the fence. I could have built up the fence to stop it, and I didn't. A storm came, knocked it out, the fire spread. So if it's Isha Mishum Amoinai, according to Rish Lakish, I'm Chayiv. But if it's Isha Mishum Chitzav stopped by my fence. If my fence normally could protect that the fire shouldn't spread, so my koyach goes up to my fence. It doesn't go further. So according to, if the storm knocked out my fence and the fire spread, according to Rish Lakish, Ishim Mishum Memoinoi Am Chayiv, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Ishim Mishum Chitzav Am Potter. But now that you're telling me, says Rashi, that Rabbi Yochanan also holds of Ishim Mishum Memoinoi, so my nafkamina, what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? Even where the Isha Mishum Chitzav stops, but Rabbi Yochanan agrees that you have a new Mechayev, which is Isha Mishum Amaynai. So where will there be a case? Where it's Gachel Shaloi? Again, where it's Gachel Shaloi? If it's Gachel, that's not mine, so then there's a big Chilik. If it's not mine, Mishum Amaynai I'm Potter, Mishum Chitzav I'm Chayev. But where the Gachel is mine, so before I said that Rabbi Yochanan holds a Rabbi Shlokish, there was a nice nafkamina. But now that Rabbi Yochanan also holds a Rabbi Shlokish, my nafkamina, my benayu. Answers the Gemara, ikke benayu l'chai v'bar b'dvorim. The nafkamina will be whether it's mammon, then you're only chai v'alts nezik. But if it's alts odom hamazik, it's chitzav, it's koichoi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, then you'll be chai four things. What are the four things, says Rashi? Nezik, tsar, ripu shevis, but not boishes. Because boishes, he brings, the Gemara says, is you're only chai if you have kavona to mimivayish to bring. In other words, if through my fire, a person's arm got, singed, so he suffers nezek tzar ripi shevis and boishes. But boishes I won't be chayv for, because that's only if you have kavona. So if it's alt odom hamazik, I'm chayv in four out of five. If it's alt momen hamazik, then I'm only chayv in nezek. So says Rashi. And then Rashi repeats. Of course, there'll still be enough gemina if the gecheles does not belong to me. But, so Rashi says, so if so, why is the Gemara stubborn here to say the Dalad Vorim? So the Rashi answers again, right, three lines before the end of this long Rashi. Behind the Naka Dalad Vorim, Mishum Dafila Hecha Dagachela Shaloi, Mashmaloi Deish Chilik Medivrayim. Because it's Mashma Ishoi Mishum Chitzav. My fire where it does belong to me. So if it does belong to me, what's the Chilik of its Adam Amazik? What's the Chilik of its Mamana Amazik? Vioi, the adds another thing, the milsa de shchiachi. It's also what shchiach. Usually you have a fire, it's your fire. You don't usually have somebody else's fire. So that's the pshat. Pia moira shemati. And here he says, av a lashon rishon near a li. The marshal says, there's no lashon rishon in Russian. There's one lashon. I have another lashon. What is the marshal's other lashon, which Rashi likes better? The other lashon is that Rabbi, not like we said in this pshat that's written in Rashi, but rather that according to Rabbi Yochanan, when the Gemara says that he elo laman de islay mishum chitzav islay nami mishum memoinoi, it means that Rabbi Yochanan requires it to be memoinoi like Rish Lakish. According to the other pshat that which we called the Lashon Sheni of Rashi, according to Lashon Sheni of Rashi, so it's not necessary that it should, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it could be chayiv for mammon, it could be chayiv for chitzav. You take whatever works. If it's not memoinei, Rabbi Yochanan's not bothered. You could be chayiv mishum chitzav. That's why Rashi had a kasha. What do you mean my benayu? My benayot is a big benayot is a big chilek. If it's not my mammon, according to Rish Lakish I'm potter, according to Rabbi Yochanan I'm chayiv. But that's why Rashi had to say like a shtickel doichik teretz, my benayu when it's ishoy, when it belongs to you, then there's no nafkamina. The Gemara answers the nafkamina is dal dvor. But according to the first pshat Rashi, which Rashi says I really like it better than what my Rebbe said, the pshat is that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say you have a choice. Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayiv for both, but you must have mammon. It must be gachel shaloi. If it must be gachel shaloi, then the kasha of my benayu is a gevaldik kasha. If it has to belong to you also, you're not chayiv if you take somebody else's gachel. It's isha mishum memoinoi. It has to belong to you. So my nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Whenever it's isha mishum chitzav, it also will be isha mishum memoinoi. The Gemara answers nafkamina will be in Dalut Vorim. But that's why Rashi likes this chapter better, because my benayu is like a real strong kasha. There's practically no difference if Isha Mishum Chitzav always requires that the gachela should belong to me, and it has to be Mishum Amoinai. Continues the Gemara. The Gemara now, as Rashi tells us, is going to explain the last part of our mission on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah stated, Hakelev Shenatel Charora, a dog took a biscuit, V'holach L'Gadish, and he went to a granary, Ochel HaCharora, now stuck to this biscuit was a coal, V'hidlik HaGadish, he ate up the Charora and he made fire to the Gadish, Al HaCharora Misham Nezek Shalom, he pays Nezek Shalom on the biscuit, V'al HaGadish Misham Chatzi Nezek, and on the Gadish he pays Chatzi Nezek. Rashi, in Divrei HaMaskvel, V'lechayiv Nami Bal Gachelis, he says at the end of his words, Kosal Kedatach, the Gemara's Hava Mina was, the Gachelis Dechad, the Gachelis belonged to one person, to Ruvain, V'charora V'godish Dechad, and the Charora and the Godish belonged to Shimon. The Marshal, as the Masoreh Shas brings down here, changes the Girsa, and it should read like this, the Gachelis V'charora Dechad, the Gadish Dechad. So it comes out, according to the Marshal's Girsan Rashi, there's an owner of the biscuit, and attached to that biscuit is a coal, and that same owner, that owner owns the biscuit and the Gachelis. And then the Gadish belongs to someone else. So now it comes out, we have three people that it's involved here. We have the Bala Kelev, the owner of the dog. We have the owner of the Gadish. And we have the owner of the cookie and the coal. So let's now begin the Gemara. That's what the Gemara's Hava Minna was. Begins the Gemara. It says in the Mishnah that you have to pay Nezek Shalom on the cookie and Chatzi Nezek on the Gadish. So Man Chayiv, who's paying this Nezek Shalom? Bal Kelev, the Gemara says, the owner of the dog. Ask the Gemara, L'chayiv Nami Bal Gacheles, what about the owner of the coal? The Gemara's Hava Minna was that he wasn't careful either in protecting the coal. So he should be chayiv also. So Rashi explains, if you remember the previous Gemara on Daf Chav Beis, the Gemara says that when you're chayiv Chatzi Nezek on the Gadish, there was a difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that Isha Mishum Chitzav, so it's speaking about that the dog placed the coal on the Gadish, and then the fire spread. So on the place where he, on the Mokum where he placed it, where he put it down, Rabbi Yochanan says, that's your Chayv Nezek Shalom. Why? Because that's like Regel. Regel does Hezek. So the dog himself directly was doing Hezek on the Gadish, burning that spot. When the fire spread to the rest of the Gadish, that is considered what? That is considered the Tsroros. That's Chitzav. That's the Koyach of the dog. That's like Tsroros. When a pebble jumps up and breaks a keli. So when the dog puts it down, you pay on that spot Nezek Shalom. From there it spreads. That's the Tsroros of the dog. You pay Chatzi Nezek. That's the way Rabbi Yochanan learned it, who learned Eishe Mishum Chitzav. If I learn, like Rabbi Shlokish, that Eishe Mishum Mamoinai, so here, the Baal HaKelev, the owner of the dog, doesn't own the fire. This is the fire of his dog. So Rosh Lakish learns that it's speaking about the dog threw it. So when he threw it, that's Tsroi Royce, or Rashi says a pshad's Mishunah. It could be it's a not normal thing for the dog to throw it. So on the place where it lands, on that Yechayiv Chatzi Nezek, either because of Tsroi Royce or because of Karen Mishunah. When the fire spreads, according to Rosh Lakish, you're potter, because the whole chiv, according to Rosh Lakish, is Isha Mishum Amoinai. That's not possible over here. It doesn't belong to the Baal HaKelev. He owns the dog. He doesn't own the fire. So you're potter. So what's the Gemara's Kasha now? The Gemara's Kasha is, both since Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish, we just got finished learning, both of them hold that what? That Isha Mishum Amoinai. So the Baal HaKelev, the Gemara's Hava Minna was that the Baal HaGacheles is a third party here. And the Baal HaGadish is another one of the third parties. So let the Baal HaGacheles, the owner of the biscuit and the coal, which was stuck to the biscuit. The biscuit was baking on a coal. Why doesn't he have to make up the slack? According to Rabbi Yochanan, what do you pay on the whole field except the place where it landed, where he put it down? You pay chatzi nezik, let the Baal HaGechelis pay the other half. According to Rish Lakish, that on the whole field you're potter, you're only chayv tshroiris on the place where he threw it, so let the Baal HaGechelis have to pay for the whole field. That's the Gemara's kasha. Answers the Gemara, b'shishimer gechaltoi. He watched it. He closed the door, Rashi says, very well, and he was an oinus that the dog got, afraid to Gemara. If he watched it, gachaltoi, he watched his call. So my boy Kalev Hossam, how did the dog get in? If he protected his home very well, how did the dog get in? The Gemara answers, Bishachotar, he burrowed underneath, through the underground, and that's how he got into the house. That's how he got the gachalas with the charora. Amar Rav Mori Bered Rav Kana, Zoysa Meres, since you're telling me what? That the owner of the kelev has to pay Nezek Sholem for eating the Charora. Zoysa Meres, Stam Delosis, Chaturis Hanetzel Kelev, that a regular door is considered that the dog will normally burrow under the door and be able to get the thing. In this case, the charora with the gachalas. Why? Because if it's not normal, then how much should he have to pay? How much did the Baal Kelev have to pay for the charora? He should only have to pay chatzi nezek. It's mishuna. So it must be that that's a normal thing. Ask Toises Akasha, if that's a normal thing, what did you just tell me 2 seconds ago that he was shomer it? The Baal HaGechelis doesn't have to pay for the field damage because he watched it. What do you mean he watched it? You just got through saying, Stam Delosis Chatur Sein Eitzel Kelev. And that's why the Baal HaGechelis pays Nezek Sholem, because it's normal. It's not Mishunah. What kind of protection did you offer? Answers Toisves, Divrei HaMask B'Shimer Gachalto V'Yesh Loimer. Kiven de Notar Kinenitori Inchi Lo Yitrichu Rabbanim Tvei. I had my door padlocked and locked securely, etc. That's the normal way that people watch. Nobody has an underground protection from dogs burrowing underneath. So if I look legabi the dog, that's orche for him to burrow underneath and get into the house and get the gachalas with the charor, and that's why the owner of the kelev is chayv nezek shalom. But as far as faulting the Baal Gachalis that he did something wrong, he watched it, kidinatri inchi. And that's why in Echanami, he is potter. Ask the Gemara another kasha. The Ochla Hecha, where did the Kelev eat this? Ilema the Ochla Begodish the Alma, as Rashi here says, our Hava mina was that there are three parties here. The Baal HaKelev, the Baal HaGodish, and the Baal HaCharora. So where did the Baal HaKelev eat the Charora? In somebody else's Godish. He didn't eat it. Why is he chayav for the charora? You're telling me that he ate it in the field where he caused the damage with the fire. So why is he chayav to pay the nezek shalom to the owner of the biscuit? He didn't eat it. What's the halacha? Beer b'stei acher. That shen is only chayiv. That's the chayiv for the charora, shen, for eating it in somebody else's, in that field. You didn't eat it in the rishus of the nizik. You ate it someplace else. You're not chayiv for shen. Ask the Gemara. Answers the Gemara. Like, shrikha d'achla b'godish d'bal charora. No, there's not three parties here. There's two parties. What are the two parties? The Baal HaKelev and the Baal HaCharora, who is the Baal HaGodesh. So he ate the Charora in the Godesh. That's the Rishus of the Nizik. That's why he's Chai for Shed. And the Mela, according to this, what the Gemara is saying now, the whole Kasha before falls off. What was the Gemara's Kasha originally? Why isn't the Baal HaGechelis Chayiv? You know why the Baal HaGechelis is not Chayiv for the Godesh? Because the Baal HaGechelis is the Baal HaGodesh. It's the same person. So that's what the Gemara is saying at this point. As now, says the Gemara, now that you've come so far, why are you not poshut? A big shiloh that we had. Tifshoit, the pi para, as we turn to the Chav Gilmama base, kechotzer hanizik dummy. There's a whole shiloh whether the mouth, you always have to eat shen. It's going to come out of Gevaldi Kechidish here, the way Rashi learns. The Gemara right here wants to entertain the thought that there should not be any chiv of shen ever. Why? Because the halach of shen is that you have to do damage in the chatzar and nizik, bir b'stei acher, but when I eat that cookie, and the dog eats the cookie in its mouth, the mouth is the rishus of the mazik. It's not the rishus of the nizik. The Gemara is going to ask Taka, so how's the track shed? We'll see in a minute. But we have a Shiloh. What is the mouth of the dog? Does it have a loch of chatzar nizik or chatzar mazik? L'chayre, if we're being mechayiv the bala kelev, that he has to pay nezik shalom on eating the charora, it must be that the dog's mouth is considered like chatzar nizik. The chatzar mazik, if it's like the chatzar mazik dummy, lay malay, let the owner of the dog say to the owner of the charora, my boy riftecha b'pumidaka boy, what is your bread doing in the mouth of my dog? Which is another way of saying that I don't have to pay you anything because there's halacha of rishus hanizik and my dog ate it in the rishus hamazik. Elamai, it must be from here we see from our Mishnah that's chatzar nizik. Di boilu, we had a shayla, pi por chatzar nizik dummy, or you can chatzar mazik dummy. What is the status of the mouth of the por when it eats something? Does it have a loch of chatzar nizik or chatzar mazik? From here we have a rye from our Mishnah that's chatzar nizik. Ask the Gemara, v'i amrit kechatzar mazik dummy. If you're going to entertain the thought that the mouth of the cow or the dog always has a din of chatzar mazik, like that sad of the chakira shen, the chayav rachmona heichem eshkachesla. What do you need a raya from our Mishnah? Poshit. V'balt arbov is nizik, and one of them is shen. That's mave, let's say, is shen. So how could the tar be mechayiv for shen? Whenever the animal eats, it's always eating in the rishus hamazik. Elamai, if the tar gave a din shen, it must be that it has a loch of rishus hanizik. So what's your chakira? So the Pnei Yeshua says that avada, this whole chakira of rishus hanizik, rishus hamazik, is not speaking when he goes into the nizik's field and eats the produce there to say that his mouth has a din of rishus hamazik. Obviously, so the Pnei Yeshua learns that the shayla is if he took it from that field and ate it someplace else. That's the shayla, if chatzar nizik or chatzar mazik. However, Rashi does not learn like that. And according to Rashi, the flow of the Gemara is much better. This kasha is a very strong kasha. In other words, how could shen ever be chayiv if you're going to say it as a din of rishus hamazik? And what the Gemara means to say, according to Rashi, is that it always will have a din of rishus hamazik. Even when I'm eating it on the grounds of the rishus hamazik, it's going in the mouth of the kelev or the parah, that has a loch of rishus hamazik. I should be potter. So the Gemara says, so how could there ever be shen? Amar Rav Mori Brei Rav Kana, if I hold rishus hamazik, you're right. There will not be a chayiv of shen. Kigoin, so it says there's a din of shen. It'll only be the toldus of shen that the Torah is b'chayiv. Kigoin, shen is chachra b'koyz l'anose. It had an itch and it rubbed its back against the wall for its pleasure. That's a told of shen. V'tantva peiris l'anose. Or, Rashi says it rolled over, as animals do when they have an itch, it rolled over and it soiled peiris for its pleasure. Then there's no issue of rishus hamazik, rishus hanizik, as far as the mouth is concerned. But when it's eating, it'll always be potter, according to that sheet of rishus hamazik. That's how Rashi learns the sugya b'pashtus. So einachanami, we have a raya from our Mishnah. If it wouldn't be for the raya from our Mishnah, I would say shen is only chayv for the toldus of shen, not for eating itself. So if a raya from our Mishnah, no, that's rishus hanizik, that you're chayv for shen, because it has a din of rishus hanizik, the mouth. Marzutra had a question. How could you entertain such a thought that only the toldus would be chayiv? We learned that the halacha of shen is learned from the pasuk ubiyir b'steyacher. And earlier in the Masechta we brought this pasuk to show that biyir b'steyacher means eating. And what's the explanation of this pasuk? Yivar hagolo means the tooth. Why is the tooth called hagla? Why is that called a glal? Because it's golui. It's when a person or an animal eats. So sometimes the teeth in the eating are revealed. So that refers to the tooth. Now what does the tooth do when it eats? Atumoi. It consumes it entirely. It becomes part of the digestive system of the animal. Veleka, how do you have such a case? If that's what ubir means, that it has to be total destruction, how do you have total destruction by what? By rubbing against the wall or rolling on fruit and soiling them. So Ravina Amar, Ravina gave an answer. The shaft tami, it rubbed its back against the wall. On the wall there was an image, and in the rubbing it rubbed off that image. So it was able to totally destroy the image that was on the wall. So I am mekayim atumoy. Ravashi Amar, the pasi pasui, it pressed the fruit. Not only did it roll on it, but to such an extent that it pressed it into the mud. And it's totally not salvageable, that fruit. So we're mekayim atumoy, if the chiyuv would only be on the toldos of Shem, that's how it would be mekayim, the inyan of atumoy. Toshma, come in here. Shisa boy esakelav. This is a Mishnah. In Masechet Sanhedrin, daf ayin vav amud beis. If someone incited Reuven incited a dog on Shimon, Shisa boy is a nachash, or he incited a snake on Shimon. The halacha is potter. He is potter. Ask the Gemara, man potter. Who is potter? So the Gemara says, according to the gears of the Bach, potter mishasa. The one who incited is potter, as Rashi explains, because it's only grama. Grama ben izakin is potter. The actual damage was done by the kelev or the nachash. I incited it. I'm a grama. The halacha is that if I caused something, but I didn't do it directly, grama ben izakin is potter. So the Gemara deduces, v'chayiv bal kelev. The mishasa of the kelev is potter. But the bala kelev is chayiv. As the Rashba and the Ravid explain, if the bala kelev would also be potter, then the Mishnah should have said piturin. They're both potter. Vibat the Mishnah only used the Lashon Yachid potter. It means only one person is potter. Who's potter? The Mishasa. But the Bala Kalev is Chayiv. So now I have a problem. V'yamet kechatzer amazik dami, according to your tzad of the Chakira, that what? That the mouth of the dog or the cow has or the snake has halach of chatzer amazik. Let the owner of the dog say to the injured party, my boy, yotcha bepumi de kalba. What is your hand doing in the mouth of my dog? In other words, just like we said, the dog would be potter for shen. Because your hand is, just like if somebody comes into another person's rishus, shaloi brishus, without permission, and my ox gores him and damages him, I'm potter, because what are you doing trespassing into my rishus? So if you put your mouth into my dog, you put your hand into my dog's mouth, that's the rishus of the mazik, the way we're going. So why can't the mazik say, what's your hand doing in his mouth, and therefore I should be potter? So Tosfos over here in Divrei Maskil Toshma says, why doesn't the Gemara answer that killing someone is different than the Zaken? And we're going to have that chilek a little later on, where the next case in that very Mishnah is going to be a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, when a snake killed somebody based on someone putting the snake on his arm, who's chayiv? The snake or the person? And the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion with Rishus Hamazik, Rishus Hadizik, and the Gemara is going to say, K'tola, when murder takes place, then we can't use a p'tur by saying it's Rishus Hamazik. Why doesn't the Gemara say that here? So Tosfos answers that the Gemara held that this case, the ratio of that Mishnah, of inciting a dog or a nachash on someone else, is not talking only about Misa, it's also talking about Nezakin, and that's why the Gemara had a valid question. If you hold Rishus HaMazik, why can't the Mazik say, what's your hand doing in my dog's mouth? So the Gemara answers two terutzim. Ema, Potter af Mishasa. When it says Potter, it means the Mishasa, the inciter, is also Potter. The Bala Kelev is for sure Potter because he's a Mazik, and your hand is in the Rishus HaMazik, and therefore you're Potter. And the Rajman, the Ravid explained before, why didn't it say Peturin? Both are Potter. If it says Potter, it's Mashma, one is Chayiv. So the Rajman, the Ravid saying, and what the Gemara is answering now is, that Potter refers only to one. What about the other? The other one is for sure Potter. The Bala Kelev is for sure Potter, because his mouth is Rishus HaMazik. The Ptur is also for the Mishasa, for the one who incited because of Grumma. V-boy Seima. Or I'll tell you, again, I'm defending the position that the mouth is considered Rishus HaMazik. The Afke Lenive Vesarte, that the dog stuck out its fangs, and he wounded the person. So you cannot say that the mouth has a din of Rishus HaMazik, because he put those fangs outside of his mouth and he did damage. So that's why in a Hanami, according to this teretz, the Bala Kalev would be chayiv. There's no grounds to pater him. Even if I say the mouth has a din of Rishus HaMazik. Toshima from the next part of the Mishnah. Hishich boyas anachish. If he stabbed somebody with a snake, meaning instead of taking a knife and stabbing the other person, he took, as Rashi explains, the snake, he put it on the hand of the other person, the snake swallowed up the hand and put in its, through its fangs, it put in the venom and it killed the person. Who's chayiv? Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv. Rabbi Yehuda's mechayiv, the guy who stabbed him with the snake. The Chachamim Poitrin, the Chachamim Pater, the guy who's the stabber. V'om Rav Acha Rav Yaakov, kishetimtzo lemer l'div Rav Yehuda. If you analyze the words of Rav Yehuda, eres nachash bein shinov hu oimed. The venom of the snake is right there by the teeth. It doesn't have to come from a sack and come into the fangs, but rather it's right there. So therefore, it's, when I take the snake with the poison, it's like stabbing someone directly. Lufikach, the Girsovi of the Masoris Hashas is Mashich, the one who stabbed Besayev, according to Muta, the stabber gets Misa. Why does the stabber get Misa? Because it's like he stabbed the other person with a knife. Because directly, the snake doesn't have to do anything. As soon as the man took the snake and put it on the hand of the Nizik, immediately the venom comes out. The snake did nothing. That's why nachash potter. You don't consider the nachash like Shor Aniskel, that you have to get rid of the nachash. Unfortunately, you have to kill the person. Besayif, he gets sayif because he killed the innocent person with the snake. L'divrei chachamim, how do the chachamim view this? Eres nachash, the poison of the snake. Me'atzmai maki, that is generated by the snake itself. It's not right there immediate when the stabber put the snake on the hand. It has to come forth from the snake. So it's the snake who's doing the killing. L'fikach nachash b'skila. The nachash I have to kill like Shor Aniskel. We get rid of any animal that damages. The umakish potter, and the one who, or mashich, like we had before, the one who stabbed, he'll be potter, because all he is a gorem. He put the snake on that person's hand, and then the snake did the actual killing. All the stabber was doing is grumma. Grumma is potter. Now comes the question. If you're going to say that the mouth of the poor has a din of chatzar mazik, so why do the chachamim hold that nachash is beskila? Lema lay, let the owner of the nachash say to him, my boy Yotcha Bepuma de Chevoi. What is your hand doing in the mouth of my snake? Why do I have to kill my snake? Your mouth was in the Rishus of the Mazik. So here the Gemara answers, as Rashi says, really I'll tell you that the mouth of the Pora or the Kelev or the Nachash has a din of Rishus HaMazik. But that's as far as Nezakin is concerned. But that it's a grounds to potter. But if the animal went so far that it killed the other person, then we don't say that that's a grounds to potter. We have to get rid of that animal that kills other people. Umina, tamra, how do you know this chilek that? Le'inik tola, for killing the nachash, we don't make an exception if it's Rishus HaMazik. The Sanya we learned in a Brisa. Hanichnas l'chatzar balabai shalai Rishus. If I go into somebody else's Rishus in his property without permission, v'nachoy shoy Rishus balabais, and the ox of the balabais gored that person who entered without permission, who mased and he died, the din is, hashor b'skila, I have to kill the shor. It's Shor Aniskel. U'balim p'tur min ha-koifer, but the usual koifer that the owner has to pay to the yorshim, to the inheritors of the person who got killed, he's potter. Now the Gemara questions, Baam Paturim and HaKoifer from my time. Why are the owners potter from Koifer? Because the owner of the ox can say, Bishusi, my boys, what are you doing trespassing in my Rishus? It's your own fault. If you got killed, that's why I can say to the Yarshim, I don't have to pay any Koifer. But the Gemara's question is, so Shairi Nami Le Malay, my boy's Rishusi. Just like it's a Ptur on the owner, he doesn't have to pay Kaifer, so it should be a Ptur on the shore, and we shouldn't have to kill the shore. Who told you to trespass? It's your own fault you got killed. Elali Niktala Le Amrinin. What proof do we have from this Brisa? That we don't use that as a mitigating factor to potter the owner of the ox, and his ox has to get killed. To kill the shore, that's not an excuse. Rosh Hashanah Mazik. He is a danger to society. He has to be removed. Shore and Niskel. The owner has a ptur, and he doesn't have to pay kaifer. So we see this chilek, and that's why it's not difficult on the Mandi Yomer, who says that the mouth of the shore has a din of Rosh Hashanah Mazik. And that's here, from here, Tosfos was asking, so what was the Gemara's raya from the Reisha? We could say it's also, we could answer that there it's speaking about Ketola, and on that Tosfos says the Gemara understood that the Reisha is referring both to Ketola and to Nezikin, and that's why there, the Gemara had a kasha, if you hold shore a Mazik, if you hold the mouth has a din of Rosh Hashanah Mazik, and there, on that, the Gemara gave two terutzim. The Gemara relates a few stories. Hanu Izi, the Beit Tarbu. There was a family Tarbu in the house of Tarbu. They had goats. The Mefsad of Rabbi Yosef. They used to cause damage to the property of Rabbi Yosef. Armalei Labai. Rabbi Yosef said to Abai, Zil, go, Emelu, Lemarayu. Tell the owners, Dilitz and Ninu, they should protect them. They should keep them inside their property. That they shouldn't do damage. Amalei, so Abai said to Rabbi Yosef, Amai Azul, what, Azul, why should I go? Diazilna, if I'm gonna go, Amri Li, they're gonna tell me, Ligdor Mar Gidei Rabare. Who says that I have to watch my goats? You build a fence around your property that my goats shouldn't cause damage to your property. So the Gemara asked the question on Abai, Vi Godar. If it's always the responsibility of the person, the nizik, to build a fence around his property. Shen d'chayv rachman, heichem hashkachas lo. So how is it ever possible for Shen? You have to do the brishos ha-nizik. The nizik is obligated to protect his property that the shore shouldn't get in. So how's ever the case where there's a damage in the brishos of the nizik? So the answer would be kishachatra. That the animal borrowed under the fence and caused damage. Inami d'nafel guda balalia. Or at night, the fence fell down. The ox went in, the animal went in and caused damage. The owner wasn't awake. He didn't know what was happening. He couldn't rebuild his fence. So then the onus goes away from the owner of the field. He did what he could to protect his field. And now the onus falls on the owner of the animal and he has to pay. Tosfos says over here, Divri amaschel yachli lememer, ligdur magder v'arei, that Abaya was just trying to find an excuse. For some reason, Abaya didn't want to do what Rabbi Yosef, his Rebbe, was telling him. And he was trying to procrastinate and say, what's the use of going? Because in truth, Tosfos says, this excuse that I have to protect my field is never an excuse. Because if it were, how did we learn before in the Yud Testament base that if an animal goes and eats from inside a chanus, the animal has to pay, the owner of the animal has to pay, why don't we tell the owner of the store, you should have protected your store? And the same thing if he eats from the side of a street. In the street is Patur Shusa Rabim, but from the side we learned he's Chayiv. So why don't we say that they should have protected? And that's why also before, when the Gemara was speaking about the owner of the dog and the owner of the Charora, the Gemara never asked, let the Baal HaKelev be Patur from paying for the Charora, because the owner of the Charora did not, the Gemara asked the Baal HaKelev should be Chayiv. But the Gemara never asked that the owner of the Charora, the owner of the Kelev should be Potter because the owner of the Charora didn't guard it properly. The answer is he's not Mechuyev. And that, therefore the Rif paskins like Rabbi Yosef against Abaya. Abaya says Tosfos, D'chuya ba'almahu. He was just trying to find some reason not to go. But the truth is not like the Ashita of Abaya. The truth is like Rabbi Yosef that the party of the animal has to protect that its animal doesn't do damage. Machriz Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef made the following announcement. Vitema Rabbi Sam say was Rabba. The Salkin Leil, whoever goes from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael. Udenachsen Le Sachto, whoever goes from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel. Down. Hani, they have to know, Bibaki Rashi says in this halacha, Hani easy to shuka. These goats that are on the meat marketplace, that they're about to be shechted so that people should have kosher meat to eat. And while they're waiting to get shechted, they are waiting for the market day place. Let's say the market day was Thursday, and now it's Monday. So what did they do for Monday to Thursday? The mafsri. The reason the owners want to shecht it on Thursday, that people should have fresh meat to eat. There were no refrigerators, so they shechted the last moment. So if during that time mafsri, they caused damage, Masrina b'marayu, we give a warning to the owner. Trey tosses him two or three times. Eat size, size. If they listen, good. V'loi, if they don't listen, they don't watch their animals from doing damage. Amrin lei, we say to them, Tiv amisachta, explains Rashi, sit by the place where the butchers sit. V'kabo zuzach, and get your money. If you would wait till Thursday and you checked on Thursday, you'd get more money. I'm going to shecht it. Today's Wednesday, and you didn't listen two or three times to the warnings. We're going to shecht it on Wednesday. You're going to get less money than on Thursday. You didn't protect your animals from doing damage. That's why we're going to shecht it a day earlier. So Tosfos in Divrei HaMashal Hana Izzi says that this halacha is only said by animals that are oimed l'shchita. And we don't let the owner of the animal say, listen, okay, I didn't listen two or three times. I want one more chance. And if it does damage, then I'll pay you. No, the other party can say, I don't want to take you to Beis Din. Maybe there won't be any Edom. I don't want to go through the hassle of Beis Din. I want your animal to be shechted now. So since it's going to be shechted anyway a day later, so we move it up one day, and Einichnami, you're going to get less money. You'll get less money. But let's say, says Tosfos, you have a goat that we're keeping it around, not to shecht. We're keeping it around for its milk. Or you have a sheep that we want to remove the wool. So then, even if it's doing damage, we can't take it and say, okay, we're going to shecht it and you get whatever you want. It's not oimed l'shchita. And then, if it damages, we have to take the person to Beis Din. We have no right to shecht the animal. And that's what he said in the story we had just before. The easy debate tarbu, where Rabbi Yosef told Abai that they should protect their animals, they shouldn't do damage. He didn't say to them, if they don't, I'm going to shecht them. Because those animals weren't oimed l'shchita. So this is only said when it's oimed l'shchita. We'll just learn the next Mishnah. Ezu tam vezu muad. So the pshat in this Mishnah is not the way it would seem. What's a tam is a mu'ud? We know very well from the whole Masechta that a tam is the first three times, and a mu'ud is after the three times. It was warned, and it's still gored. Then it becomes a mu'ud. What the Mishnah here is trying to find out, can a mu'ud turn back into a tam? And on that, the Mishnah says, mu'ud is kol she'idu by shlosha yomim. If 3 days in a row it gored another ox, and they were warned. So then it becomes a mu'ud. The tam, how does it revert? It could revert back to tam. Mishiyachser boy shloish yom. Divrei Yehuda holds that if 3 days go by, and it was in the company of other oxen, where previously, when it was in its, doing its bad behavior, it would have gored those oxen. And now it had a chance, like the Rambam tells us, what's tshuva? When a person comes to the same situation and he doesn't do it again. So the same thing here. If the ox had the opportunity 3 days in a row, and it didn't use the opportunity, then it reverts back and becomes a tam, and then it will only pay chotzi nezek. This is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Oimer, mu'ud she'idu by shlosha pa'amim, not yamim. He says, as Rashi explains, even in one day, the same day, 3 times it could become a mu'ud. The tam, when does it revert back to tam? Kol sheyehu atenoikos mimash mishim boy vein in the gach. If the children, they poke it between the horns, or they stroke it to tease it and provoke it, and yet it doesn't do that, so the halacha is that it reverts back to being a tam. I just want to point out one important Rashi that I failed to say, and that is that Rashi says, in the case before the Mishnah, when we warned the goat owners that they should, that the ones who are going to be shechted, and they were doing damage, says Rashi, even if they did damage in Rishus HaRabim, where Shen V'Regel is put there on, still, we warned them, if you don't take care of your animals, we're going to shech them earlier, and you're going to have a hefsid that you're not going to get as much money as if you would have waited till the Yom HaShuk.